name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust, so you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's artwork One and Other. The date today is the 22nd of August 2009 and the time is 4:15 p.m. If I can please ask you to say your name, your age and where you're from.
My name's Nathan Ray, I'm 28 years old and I'm from Manchester, England.
Lovely. And how are you today?
I'm fine, quite excited.
Yeah, good. What was it that motivated you to be part of this work?
Well, I've just finished up university and I was wanting to, I did an arts course at university and I was wanting to continue with the kind of the artistic lifestyle and keep myself busy in that area, and this turned up in my email box from my sister on my computer, and I thought, well, that looks interesting, and just clicked through and entered straight away.
Brilliant. And when you found out that you got a place, how did you decide how to use your hour on the plinth?
Oh, I had lots, well, I didn't for ages. I had lots of crazy ideas. For a while I was trying to work out if I could do a magic trick and actually do a disappearing trick on top and make myself completely disappear, but I couldn't work that out at all. I'm sure it's possible if you're a proper magician. Then I was thinking of getting a big, very long fishing rod and fishing in the fountains out in the square. And then I actually looked up how far it was, and that was that wasn't going to be practical. So then I thought, well, I'm going to do what I'm good at, which is filmmaking and juggling, and just combine my two interests into what I'm going to do up there today.
So what are you going to do on the plinth?
Well, I'm going to shoot all the footage I need to make a fast-paced, high-energy juggling video, but with the camera always still on the tripod and me doing the juggling in front of it, and then put it together in the edit afterwards to make it a lot more interesting.
Okay, how long have you been doing both of these interests of yours?
Oh, I started juggling years ago when I was about 8 or 9. I lived out in the country then, and we didn't have anything to do as kids, and then a local there was a juggling workshop running at the local village hall, so we went along to that. Obviously there was nothing else to do, and then I really enjoyed it, and I've been juggling ever since, on and off. I'm not very good, but it's a bit of a hobby. And then filmmaking, I started doing that seriously about 6 or 7 years ago, and I've just completed a degree at Manchester Metropolitan University in contemporary film and video, and I've just graduated from that a month ago.
Fantastic. And what kind of videos and films do you make?
I make a lot of artistic films. At the moment I've given myself a project for the entire year of an experimental video a week for the entire year. So, well, I'm a few weeks behind now because university work got in the way, but I'm up to video 23, and what I shoot today on the plinth will hopefully be my 24th experimental video of the year. But I also shoot documentaries, and my graduation film for my university degree has just been accepted into Exposures Film Festival in Manchester in November.
Fantastic. Would you like to say a little bit more about that piece?
I filmed a documentary, and I was looking into the social issues about why people give people things to other people for free, expecting nothing in return, like sofa surfing on the internet, where you can go and stay in people's houses for free. And I was looking at that, and about hitchhiking. So I decided in the end I'd do a film about hitchhiking. So I hitchhiked around the northwest of England for a few days, and interviewed the people who picked me up, and had a lot of footage from that, and then just made it into a short documentary, and it was quite good. I mean, it was better than I was initially expecting it to be, and it got me a good mark at university, and obviously it's been accepted into a film competition now. So.
And what kind of film work do you want to pursue in the future, if you want to?
Yes, I'd like to. I'd hopefully like to continue with the documentary filmmaking and also the artistic filmmaking, and seeing if I can combine them in a way. A lot of narrative films you can tell quite experimentally, and but you don't often see a lot of documentary films which are quite artistic, and I'd like to carry on seeing if how close I can get the two genres, and see if there is a way actually to combine them properly. I mean, there are examples already, but I'd like to see if I can do it on a small scale with a small budget and quite a personal level film.
When you say personal level film, what do you mean?
Well, a lot of documentaries are like the feature length documentaries that people go to the cinema to see will be like Bowling for Columbine, you know, the Michael Moore films, which are taking on these big kind of social issues, or even the Morgan Spurlock kind of film, which is you know, his fast food thing, taking on McDonald's and things. I like finding people's stories, not concentrating on, you know, following the one guy doing a rant for 2 hours, but kind of concentrating on finding individual stories, like with the hitchhiking documentary, sitting in a car with one other person or like two other people and them driving you and asking them questions. It's amazing what stories come out. I got a lift with a woman who, when she was a lot younger, she was probably in her 50s or 60s now, but when she was a lot younger, she hitchhiked from Yorkshire to India, and she had great stories to tell you know, on the way. And you wouldn't hear those stories or find those stories if I set out thinking I want to make a film about how consumerism is the most evil thing in the world, or about how this, or, you know, if you go out with like a message in mind, you won't find those little stories. So that's what I mean on the personal level, to find those interesting stories.
Okay, and what does film and video mean to you, like your work? What does that mean to you?
Well, it's my canvas and paintbrushes, in a way. It's I know that sounds really really art school, that, but it is. I don't use a canvas, I don't use tools that way. I use my camera and I use my editing software, and I just try and look for interesting ways of seeing the world, and then testing it out and see if I can get that interesting way on screen, on YouTube, on my website, wherever, and so other people can see the world in that slightly different way, slightly more interesting way. I think that's really interesting, because sometimes I set out thinking, this is what I want to show people, you know, I have an idea, and then by the time I get to the end, I've not been able to do it. And sometimes it's just awful, and I'd better just put it out there anyway. And sometimes it's so much better than what I originally expected it to be. But I would have never found that new and interesting way that I didn't expect to find, unless I'd have set out and actually tried to find that way of showing the world in the first place.
You just mentioned that you have a website. Would you like to say the address?
Yeah, it's www.nathanray.co.uk, and that's Ray, spelled R-A-E. And I put all my films and videos on there. And also I have a blog and things, so you can follow it along on there.
Is there a link to a blog from your website?
The website is it's based around a blog. I've got a homepage and then a blog, and then a page with all my experimental videos on, and then a page with advertising the fact that I also do wedding videos and things like that as well.
Okay. Aside from your creative work, what other elements of your life kind of make up who you are, would you say?
Well, my wife and children. I've got a wife and two children, Karis and Seren, who are three and one at the moment. And I'm also a foster carer, and so that's a big part of my life as well.
How is it to be married?
Married? Oh, being married is easy. Being married then with children as well, that's a bit more of a challenge, I think.
How do you find juggling like your work and family life?
It's difficult, because if I'm out shooting a video, that's fine. I'm out of the house, that's easy. When I'm at home and I'm sitting at my editing suite, which is a grand name for a desk with a computer on it, but when I'm editing, I'm just a few meters away from the kitchen space, and people are walking in and out, and then someone needs a nappy changed, and then something else happens, and so it's sometimes I just close the door to my office, and the door is closed for a few hours if I've got a deadline to meet. But no, I generally get things done and sorted.
What about, you're from Manchester, is that where you were born and where you've always lived?
No, I've lived all over the UK, in Kent and London and the North East and Manchester and Merseyside and Belfast. I've moved around quite a lot.
How come you've moved around?
Well, my parents did the first couple of moves from to York and to the North East, and then I left home when I was 18 and was in a theatre company in London for a year, and then for another year in Merseyside, and then I set up a theatre company in Belfast for a year before moving to Manchester with my wife. So.
And what was your work with the theatre company?
It was like theatre and education work, you know, don't take drugs, they're bad, don't get pregnant. And then in Northern Ireland it was more conflict resolution and anti-bullying messages. I don't know how much good it did, but the kids seemed to enjoy it when they were watching it, and seemed to work.
Where did you grow up?
Mainly in Teesdale, in County Durham, in the middle of nowhere, up near High Force.
And how was that?
Slow, dull, and quite boring, really. I mean, it's nice. It would look like nice on a postcard, on holiday, but living there 52 weeks a year was another matter. There was very little for us to do, literally in the middle of nowhere, as a family.
Have you got any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I've got a twin brother and two older sisters.
And are you an identical twin?
Yeah, I've got an identical twin brother.
What's that like? Do you like that?
It's good. I don't see him very much. He lives in Germany now. He's a professional juggler who travels all over the world doing juggling on cruise ships and in festivals and things like that. Living the good life, really. And so I don't see him very much anymore, but whenever we get together we still really click creatively, and when we're knocking ideas back and forth between us, we always seem to click. Just, I think, because we were so young, we were so close when we were young, that I don't think you ever really lose that. And I don't think you ever seem to get that back. I don't seem to think you ever get that back again with any other person, because you've been so close to your identical twin brother. I don't think I'll ever be quite as close to anybody, like friendship-wise, like that again, or working relationship-wise. I just think that's one of the things about having an identical twin brother, I think.
Moving forwards now, what are your ambitions?
Well, at the moment I'm self-employed as an independent filmmaker, and I'm making films for small businesses and doing a few weddings and things like that. But I'd like to explore the documentary side of things more, I'm just going to be looking out for projects that I can do and putting together projects that way, and approaching some commissioning editors or television studios. I don't know. I've only just graduated, so I'm gonna hopefully build that up over the next year or two into a full time job.
Why documentary?
I just find it really interesting how, when I was in the theatre, it was all about kind of making up your own stories, or, you know, creating your own stories and doing storytelling that way. Because I think most of television and theatre and radio, it's all about storytelling, really. Even like nature programmes and things, everything's based around, you know, this idea of communicating through story. And when at university I was doing drama again, which I thought I would really want to do, you know, coming from a directing background in a small theatre, I thought, oh, I'll go into directing in film as well. But it was always tied down by finding actors and producing this and getting a script and getting the music, and you spent so long trying to pull apart the story into every tiny little, each part of the story into its own little element, and giving that away to somebody else, and it was just too complicated. But I found with documentary, although I wasn't in control of the complete story, as in I didn't write the script or I wasn't directing it or someone else wasn't directing it, if you found the right stories and you found the right people to talk to and the right characters to follow, the stories which were actually told ended up better than if you were directing them. Obviously, there's a lot of editing that goes on with documentary, and you don't include every story that you film, and sometimes there's a bit of, you know, not setting up, but you say, can you drop, when I was hitchhiking, can you drop me off there again so I can film myself getting out, that kind of thing. So you are creating a story, and you do have a story in mind, but I think with documentary, it's just a lot, I think it's a lot purer kind of way of looking at a story than writing a script.
And is there a particular subject matter that you're interested in making a documentary about?
Yeah, I'd like to continue along the theme of more of the generosity of the human side of the human character, because I think so many documentaries are about how, oh, you know, this is a terrible situation happening over here, or here's a child with a you know, an awful disease or something like that, and although those can be uplifting, I'd rather find out normal situations where people are kind of generous in their everyday life and look into the motivations around that. So maybe do a sofa surfing idea, going and shooting, seeing if I can travel around like lots of different cities, you know, and every night stay with somebody again for free. I'm not saying for free because I'm trying to be a freeloader. I mean, asking people, you know, why do you let strangers into your house for free? And, you know, have you ever done it before? Something like that. Or, yeah, I've got lots of ideas along those kind of lines. So.
And going back to the plinth. Today.
Oh yes, that's why we're here, isn't it?
Yeah. Have you got any hopes or fears or expectations about it?
Well, I'm going to be doing filming up there, and I'm fine with that. I know I can do that, but I'm going to be juggling, and I don't normally juggle in front of this many. I don't know how many thousand people are going to be out there, but that's what I'm going to be worried about, because I'm not a brilliant juggler, and I don't want to go out there and people think, oh, you know, he's going to be brilliant, and I'm obviously not. I'm going to be dropping the balls every now and again, and I'd rather not lose too many balls over the edge of the plinth, but I'm sure it'll be okay.
And what kind of experience do you hope to get out of this?
I think it's going to be, I just like the community of it. I've already been chatting to the lady who was on the plinth before me. I'll probably see the person who's on after me. I've been following it online and chatting to people on Twitter, and there's quite a little Twitter community around it now. And I've quite enjoyed that kind of things as well. Yeah, I mean, I'd like people to follow up the work I've done today and actually watch my video online and things like that. But I'm not holding my breath. I mean, that's not what I'm doing. It. I want to just make the film as part of my ongoing project for the year and things like that.
Cool. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about yourself or about taking part in one another?
No, just I'm getting more and more nervous as the clock ticks down now. So. No, I don't think there is anything else I want to say.
Thank you.
Okay.